Right, well, we looked last time at steps 1 and 2 of Joseph's life. And these are steps that he had to take on the way to his destiny. And there are lots of lessons we can all learn from the life of Joseph. And whatever God does in one person's life, there is always lessons that we can all learn from, can't we? And just like when we read the word and you read what happened to the old patriarchs in the Bible, their failings, where they failed, the things they did well at, and what the pitfalls were they fell into, and how God redeemed them and different things. And through all that, we learn as well, don't we? God shows us his grace, his love, the way that we should walk and that. So there's a lot to be learned from the life of Joseph. And each one of us has a destiny. It does, you know. Some people think, "Oh, well, I haven't got a destiny. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not." But every person has a destiny. And you might say, "Well, I'm just a housewife." No, no, no. There's no such thing as just a housewife. If you are a born again Christian, you aren't just a housewife. God has a role for everybody. And if you're going to do that job well as a housewife, there'll be anointing on what you do. There will be fruit brought forth out of it. And so it doesn't matter that we're looking at somebody who ends up being second in charge in Egypt at a key time in the life of the Israelites and the Egyptians when there's famine in the land. And Joseph was used to save Israel, and not just that, to save the world beyond at that time, but to ensure that God's people were safe and secure. God had a plan. But there is a step along the way for each one of us, and we go along. Sometimes we make a mess up and all the rest of it, and then we have to get back on track again. And that's what happens in everybody's life. And we're going to continue to look at these steps along the way and what tests he took to get to his destiny. So we'll start with this one, which is test 3. Test 1 was the pride test, if you recall, to do with him having his coat of many colours and his attitude. 17-year-old lad, must be my father's best, how he alienated his brothers. He had to take some responsibility for the attitude of his brothers and what they did to him. It was totally wrong, it was awful, it brought out something in them. And even years later, they never apologised to him, even when he saved their lives later on. He had to take some responsibility for his actions in there. He wasn't blameless. He had some learning curves to go through. And then he ended up in the pit. No hope, nothing. What's going to happen to me next? His coat was gone. His father thought he was dead. And he was saved by one of his brothers who got him sold off to these slave traders. So all these things would have given him quite a lot of reason to have the hump and not be happy with God. He'd had these dreams as a young man, and he started to spurt these dreams to people, and he wasn't wise, and he was straight out with what God had told him, and he blah, 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 blurted it out to his brothers and his father, and what do you think, we're going to end up bowing to you and all the rest of it. Just lack wisdom, 17-year-old, but we can be 70-year-old and be just the same and stupid. God gives us something, I'm not 70 yet, but I'm 64, and I can be stupid. God will give you something. You think, why didn't I shut my mouth? That wasn't the way to deliver that, and you... And the Lord has to tap you on the shoulder, and you go back around in a circle, and then you have to you find yourself taking the same step again later on. Hopefully the next time one gets it right. If not, you go back in a circle. And you have lessons to learn that set you up so as you can then be trusted with the next step. And this is what's going on in Joseph's life as we look at it. So step 3, we call it the palace test. And really, it's about learning good stewardship, which is really important. Luke 16, verses 10 to 12 says, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own?" And that's the New Living Translation. And if God cannot trust a person with much, that person will have to wait a long time to enter their destiny. Because your destiny carries with it responsibilities, it carries with you a task and everything. So you have to get to a place where you learn to be able to handle things and treat things right. So that trust is there. What are we going to do with the things God has entrusted to us and another man's goods? This is the first step Joseph encountered after he was delivered out of the pit. Every destiny carries with it great responsibility. And like I said, if you say, well, I'm just a mum, stay-at-home mum, you've got just as much a great responsibility as somebody who's got a job to go out and evangelist or whatever, and that with it you've got a great responsibility. And the Lord will look at how well you do in that, and you can bring forth huge fruit from being a stay-at-home mom, bringing up children. You know, you could bring forth children who are, you know, on fire for God, who go out and witness for Him and save souls or do great things. And you know, there's so much, and I could go on and on with different examples around that. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So there's always a way out. God knows, you know, that you're going to get tempted. There's always lessons to learn along the way. This world is full of trouble and all sorts, and as God's developing your character, that there's people say, oh yeah, but I had no chance of this. No, God says in His Word, there's always a way of escape, and that you may be able to bear it. Can God trust us with the little things? If not, He will not allow us to enter the great things He has for us. Until we pass the stewardship test, God will not allow us to move on further into our destiny. Colossians 3, 22 to 25 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons. So it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, whether you're in the world, you know, there is no respect to it. You do wrong, then there is a consequence, isn't there? Service with the right attitude is important to God. We don't work solely for an employer, we also work for God. How? By serving from your heart with sincerity. And more as we go through this, you're going to see it's all about the heart. God's after the heart. And what's in your heart is what's important. And if we can't serve unbelievers well, we will never pass the stewardship test. Why? Because God has a purpose for every situation in our lives. And as His servant, He is watching to see if we faithfully represent Him. And, you know, it's so easy, isn't it, when you're in a job in the world, perhaps you get treated unfairly. It's lots of people do, whether you're a Christian or not. People get abused in different ways and treated unfairly and not rewarded as they should or given the respect they should and everything. But as Christians, we don't work for them, regardless of how we get treated. Regardless outside of that, how the world treats us in any situation. Instead of getting the hump, we need to remember, no, we are His. Everything we do, the way we deal with it, we do it as unto Him. Do I do that every time? I wish I could say I did. Loads of times I've fouled it up and I've dealt with things awful and I thought, oh, you idiot, Andre. Here you go again, you know. But praise the Lord. You know, the important thing is that we listen to a little tap on the shoulder and we commit those things to the Lord and let Him develop us. Romans 8, 22 to 28. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And that's the same words, virtually, as what was in the previous scripture we read. In Genesis 39:1-6, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had been brought down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer of his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he ate. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favoured. So here's Joseph. He's learnt a few lessons along the way, and now he's been sold into slavery. Next thing you know, he finds himself in the house of Potiphar. You think he could have ended up anywhere, right? You know, could have ended up in fields or in some mine or all sorts. So in some of the slaves, well, they did. They got treated awful. And the jobs they had, they had limited life expectancy and did it. But you see, when you're a Christian, the favour of God's on your life. And God's got to pursue you. He's not going to let you get put in a place where you're going to get destroyed or whatever. Nothing's going to be too much. He's going to ensure that his blessing is on there. And if you walk with him and write with him, then that favour and that shows. And just as you see here, Potiphar, suddenly he recognises, hey, there's something different with this guy. And he could trust him. You know, here's, here we are with a guy who's an Israelite, you know, and Hebrew. Now the Egyptians, Hebrews, they were, you weren't really supposed to have too much to do with Hebrews, and two didn't mix, and happy to have them as slaves, but they didn't really want them as anything else. But suddenly, here's the favour of God on Joseph's life, and he's being given positions of responsibility. The blessing of the Lord's at work, just as it does in our lives. And it wasn't long after Joseph was delivered from the pit that he found himself living in the palace. And soon after that, he found himself being in rule over almost everything in it. Joseph had to remember that nothing in the palace belonged to him. He was only a steward. And we're only a steward. It's important that we keep that focus, remember. Because the old flesh, you know, the last thing, oh, look, you know, great, I've done this today, you know. I gave a Bible, so it wasn't on, like, great. And I said, that's rubbish, you know, nothing. Unless God gives you the words and gives you the ability and speaks through you, it's all nothing, you know. And we need to remember that. We are stewards, no matter what we do. If we work for God in all we do, he will reward, promote, and bless us in all we do. And that is why Joseph was promoted everywhere he went. What a journey. Pit to palace, but Joseph was still a slave. And would you or I act like Joseph in such a situation? We'd be found lacking. You know, we'd be found bemoaning our lot, you know. And David, in Psalm 26:1-3, he said, declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. See, he's testing that heart. For I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. You know, David, like Joseph, he knew he could rest in the love of the Lord. Even asking, look, put me on trial, test me, you know, deal with me. Because he knew God's love is so great, so pure. And it's not like going before. Do you remember in the old days at school, you know, guys would be called out and you'd be given a huge, great caning. And sometimes the people that did it took a almost loved wielding a cane on people, and they were a bit sadistic with it and stuff like that. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's nothing like those images. It's all done in pure love. And you come out from him knowing you've been loved, you know, praise the Lord. Joseph, like David, felt secure in God's unfailing love. God was testing, preparing, and developing Joseph to enter into his destiny. Joseph knew that God's correction was and is always done in love. And when you are corrected in love, and God is love, the outcome is beautiful. Joseph is sold as a slave. He's out of the pit and in the palace, but nothing in it was his, and he had no promise of reward, no matter how well he did for his master. Yet we know Joseph proved himself a faithful servant and passed the stewardship test. How did Joseph pass the stewardship test? By being faithful with another man's goods, and by being faithful to do the right thing, even when there seemed to be no reward for doing so. And so much in this world, people want a reward, don't they? You know, people aren't always prepared to go the other mile. You know, unless they're getting their just desserts out of it, they're no, I'm not going to do that, well, sure, I'm not going to get nothing out of it. Yeah, but no, that's not the way God is. That's not the way the Lord works. And because of that, God prospered the works of Joseph's hands. Whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it prosper. Even the labour he did as a slave was so blessed by the Lord that it caused the house of his master to prosper for Joseph's sake. The Lord was with Joseph, and that caused him to be a successful person. Joseph's master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper. This brought Joseph the favour of his master, but he did not try to take advantage of his favoured status. Rather, he served his master. And Joseph had the right attitude to his job, even his job as a slave. He didn't allow the injustice of the situation to prevent him from serving faithfully. Because of this, his master made him overseer of his house and all he had. If we are faithful to the Lord, as Joseph was faithful to do what was right before the Lord will cause all we do to prosper. But to do so, we have to learn the keys of being a faithful steward. And I'm sure you're sitting here, most of you, and you think, well, actually, I can think of times in my life how things have prospered where, you know, I can talk for myself. I know I've been in jobs where things have happened and prospered and that, where I've myself, it ain't me, I have nothing to give that was, you know, it's what the Lord gives. It's his favour on your life. He teaches you, he gives you the wisdom to do it and stuff. And it's all down to him. And Joseph was in that position. And if we find ourselves to not be prospering in every area of our life, we may not be putting some of these truths into practice. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord in your life. God prospers in all he does. Therefore, if you're walking with God as his friend, he will cause all you do to prosper, to be blessed. The blessing was there right from Abraham. And that blessing is translated through to us and through Jesus. The blessing of Abraham rests on God's children today. Hallelujah. And Abraham is God's friend. Praise the Lord. Potiphar did not know the Lord, but he recognized that God was with Joseph. It's funny, how people will recognize God's with you. They'll see the works. They'll benefit from the works of what God's on. But they don't want to actually touch. They don't want to take. They don't want to know the Lord, do they? And the key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. And because of his holy and righteous nature, God walks only with obedient servants. I'm not saying he's not with people who are born-again Christians, but there's a difference between being a born-again Christian and walking in obedience to the Lord. There's two different things. 2 Chronicles 17:3-4. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, which is all these gods and different things that the Philistines and these people had done in those days, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established a kingdom in his hand, and all of Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honour in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and the wooden images from Judah. So he wasn't messing about. He got rid of the idols and everything to do with them. He made sure he established the country that they were living under God's ways, God's commands, and that. And there he was being blessed. And You see people who move in ministry in these days who've given up huge amounts for the Lord, and some and people get criticised because suddenly they see them being blessed and they've got this, and oh, look at them, you know, the rest. No, the blessing of the Lord works on their lives. It's not for us to judge whether we think they should have all that. We should thank the Lord that they've been, that they have been blessed in that. Praise the Lord. Why was God with Jehoshaphat? Because he obeyed God's commandments and walked in God's ways. He was obedient to God and followed the example of David, who had also lived in the presence of God. Attitudes are just as important to God as actions. He wants us to obey him with a willing, I emphasize willing, heart. The reason is that it is our hearts he wants. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Wow, the Lord is actually watching over them for the sake of those whose heart is loyal to him. And God is not interested in some outward act. To have him, his presence, we must obey wholeheartedly. It's a choice. Deuteronomy 11:26-28 says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known." Blessing comes through obedience. Salvation is not by works, but by grace, which comes through faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. But to be blessed in this life, you have to be obedient to his will. Job 36:11-12. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. The key to obedience, faith. Faith is what produces obedience in our lives. And faith is not as mysterious as we often make it out to be. Simple example. Because a farmer has faith, he plants crops. He works hard preparing the land and planting because he believes a crop will grow from his efforts. If God is with us, walking as our friend, we're going to prosper. Why? Because God prospers in all he does. He has never failed and will never fail in anything he does. So if he is with us, we're going to be successful. God will always keep pushing you forward, urging you on, because that's the kind of friend he is. And Joseph had the presence of the Lord in his life in a tangible way. Potiphar did not know the Lord, but he was able to recognize that God's favor was with Joseph. And you see that in Genesis 37:3. It says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." And we read that verse just a short while ago. There are other people of faith mentioned in the Bible where it states the Lord was with him or them. People such as Abraham, Samuel, David, Jehoshaphat, Moses, Phinehas, John the Baptist, believers from Cyprus and Cyrene, and you'll find that in Acts 11:20-21, and there's scores of them. Obedience is the key to having the presence of the Lord in our lives. If we don't obey him, he can't walk with us because of his holy and righteous nature. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." How do children honour their parents? And this is true of our children in the flesh, but also it's really important in the spirit, in the Lord, because in the Lord, it actually carries even more weight with your parents in the Lord. You move into a different realm. And that word obey is a Greek word, and it's hupakouo. If you can look it up in the Strong's Dictionary, and it says to hear under as a subordinate, i.e. to listen attentively, by implication to heed or conform to a command or authority. hearken, to be obedient to obey. So obey your parents in the Lord. So these are things we should be doing. And it says about honour. And when you look at honour in the Greek, it's timeo. And it says to prize, i.e. fix a valuation upon. By implication, to revere, to honour, to value. How much honour, how much value do we give to our elders, to our brothers, to our, you know, to our parents in the Lord? People who, you know, minister to us from the Lord. Lord, you know, just like a child. Sometimes there's lots of teachers in life as you go along. You go to a job, you have teachers in life. You come to a church, you've got a pastor, you've got elders, you've got various others. But you've also got your brothers and sisters around you, often your teachers. They come to you with a word of wisdom from the Lord. The Lord speaks to you then. And it's important to obey and to honour each other in those things as well. And the Lord looks to see how we treat that. You know, I remember one person said, oh, no, I won't do that. Unless I get it from this particular preacher, I'm not doing anything. You know, and that person was being given instruction, which is right and Lord, from somewhere else. But he rejected it because he would only hear it from one place. And we've got to be careful not to do that. To obey is to honour. God is a good father. He rewards us for good behaviour. And he disciplines us for bad behaviour. Just as we would rather reward our children than discipline them, so it is with our Heavenly Father. And if you don't want to get disciplined, it's simple. Obey, and he will bless you. A person disobeys God because they don't believe they're really going to suffer any consequences for that disobedience. Oh, well, man, I can just do that. I can't be bothered. You know. Hebrews 3:16-19 says, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom he was angry for 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter because of unbelief. They didn't believe what he told them. If they truly believed in their hearts the message that God had delivered them through Moses, the outcome would have been so different. Instead, they died in the wilderness. There was only a handful that made it into the land from that older generation. They were all gone. You had the Joseph and the Calebs, the Moses. All the rest were younger people. The key to obedience is faith or believing. The children of Israel did not enter the land because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:19. Had they believed God's word, they would not have been disobedient and they'd have entered into his rest. And 1 Corinthians 10:11-13 says, now all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come. And that's us. That's us. We're sat here at that time. It's all, and people think it's irrelevant. I've heard people write off the Old Testament and say, no, we're in the New, it doesn't matter. Brother, sister, it matters. God has set standards, he's got lessons in there, and this example is put in place. And if we reject those examples, we reject what he's done, and we will miss the mark. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. And God wants everyone else to enter our promised land, a place where the blessing of God is on us, prospering us in everything we do. The key to having God's blessing is to have his presence manifested in our lives. The key to his manifested presence is obedience to his commands. The key to walking in obedience to his commands is believing, having faith. What is the key to faith? That's hearing the word of God. Romans 10:16-17 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the key to having faith is not in obeying the word of God, it's in hearing the word of God. There is something about hearing the word of God that produces faith. James 1:22-25 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. Hearing the word of God is the key to doing it. The more I hear the word of God, the more faith I will have. The more faith I have, the more I want to obey and live out the word of God. A lot of people are not doers of the word of God because they don't have faith. And the reason for that is they haven't heard much of the word, the living word. And if you hear the word consistently, faith will come. God promised that it would. More faith produces more obedience. More obedience results in more of the manifest presence of God in our lives. And the more we live our lives in the presence of God, the more we will prosper and succeed. It all begins with being faithful in the smallest things, by being a faithful steward, by being faithful in the little things. Be a good employee, good steward to the Lord, Colossians 3:23. Spend time in God's word and your faith will increase. And as faith comes, obedience will naturally follow. And when you honour God and walk in obedience to him, he will honour you with his presence. When you have his presence, his favour and blessings will rest upon your life. Then, like Joseph, you'll prosper in all you do. Then you will know that you've passed the steward test. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Praise the Lord. So that was stewardship. A lot of valuable lessons in there. And as I've been going through, because I've studied this now for 3 years, maybe four, on and off. And then it took me a long time to put this all together into a PowerPoint presentation and go through it. And then I've had to reread it and go over it and stuff, you know. And you certainly go back to it and think, oh boy, you know, I've got a lot to learn yet. No matter how much you read it and everything, you know, you realise just how far one's got to go yet. And but nevertheless, at least if you line yourself up with the Word, if you look at the Word, if you let the Holy Spirit take you and show you where you've got things that aren't right, and you then commit that back to him and with a heart willing to yield, then he'll change you, transform you. You'll find suddenly things start to happen. You're able to minister in different ways and things. That's the blessing of the Lord moving through. And what a thrill it comes. And when it does, you want more of that. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean you're not vulnerable.